Here we go, and we have the great Rick Riz on the telephone line. Rick, how are you? Thanks for joining Mitchell and Moffitt today.
Hey, Stitch. Hey, Anita. How you doing? I'm doing all right, and I can't wait to get down to sunny Arizona.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's going to be nice and warm and get ready for spring training.
Yes. Another spring training for you as you get ready for your final year as a Mariner broadcaster, as a broadcaster, and would-be Hall of Fame broadcaster at that. It is a pleasure to meet you one more time. I don't know if you're going to remember this, but a guy named Maury the Movie Guy and I went down to spring training probably a dozen years or so ago, and you and I and Maury would sit at the picnic table and have coffee, and we would chat all day for baseball.
Yeah, I love that. That was the best part of the day. Every day, myself and Carl Hamilton, our video coordinator, would be out there, get a cup of coffee, and sit there long before the players went out on the field, and basking in the sunshine after about 4 months of you know, cloudy skies and rain and cold temperatures. It was so nice to get down to Arizona and visit, so I remember that. It's always a great way to start the day. It was nice to meet you guys down there 12 years ago.
Oh, God, that was so much fun. So, first off, tell me about this decision, you know? I know what you probably had this thinking about it for the last couple of years or so.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing this for 51 years. It's my 52nd year. I started in 1975, and Alexandria, Louisiana, my first year in the minor leagues. I spent 8 years in the minors, riding the buses in the Texas League and the Southern League, and Alexandria and Amarillo, Texas for 2 years, Memphis for 3 years with the Expos AA team, and Columbus, Ohio with the Yankees AAA team in the International League. And then I finally got here, thank goodness for Mr. Niehaus. Dave Niehaus hired me here in the Mariners in 1983. So it's been a great career. I've been blessed. You know, the good Lord has helped me get to the big leagues finally after 8 years of the minors to enjoy, you know, my 41st year with the Mariners here. Then in between, I spent 3 years with the Detroit Tigers.
Yep. And then you came.
You know, it's.
Then you came to your senses.
Tigers let me go. They got Ernie Harwell back. It was one of the greatest things that ever happened to me because Dave Niehaus got me back. And thank God, guys, I didn't miss the 1995 season, which was the greatest year in the history of the franchise.
That's funny. You mentioned the great Ernie Harrell, too, because he was fired, and that's how you had the opportunity to go in there to Detroit. And that had to be a tough gig because everybody loved him in Detroit.
Yeah, no, they did. It was real, real difficult. But the ball club was sold halfway into my first year there in 1992. And then we got Ernie back. We brought Ernie back in 93. I worked with him. And then in 94, there was a strike, and they let me go right before Christmas. I called Dave Niehaus and Randy Adamack.
Yes.
Armstrong saying they said, we'll get you back. But I've been blessed doing what I love to do ever since I was 12 years old growing up in Chicago. But now I just want to, after this year, spend more time with my grandkids and get on a plane when I want to get on a plane and enjoy the rest of my life. So I want to see what the next chapter is.
What is your first travel destination since you want to see the world?
Somewhere in Italy. And I want to get a big old bowl of pasta and meatballs and travel around the country. All my relatives are there from both sides of my family. My grandfather, Michael Ricciatiello, is from Amalfi. And then my mom's parents, Jim and Angelina Galati, are from Cosenza in southern Italy, which is Calabria.
Okay.
So start off in Rome, go there, go see the Pope, who's a big White Sox fan. Hope I get a chance to meet Pope Leo.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we grew up, about 10 blocks away from one another on the south side of Chicago. Of course, I didn't know him back then.
Wow.
And now everybody knows the Pope is, Pope Leo is a big White Sox fan.
Yeah, that's
fan.
Cool. So
you want to get to Italy.
Yep. You and I have something in common. We're both Midwest kids, right? I was born and raised in a small town in Iowa, about a half hour outside of Iowa City, Iowa. And so let's talk about the importance of AM radio, because when I was a kid, I could get WLS and all the amazing air talent
Larry Lujack.
Larry Lujack, God almighty. John Records, Landecker, Fred Winston.
Yeah,
I could name
Fred
them off
Winston.
Like you could name off of fellow sportscasters as well. And, of course, WGN-TV as well. Tell me about your experience as a kid, what AM radio meant to you.
It meant everything to me. You know, that little transistor radio with the little earpiece that you put in your ear and you could listen to it at night underneath your pillow, you know, in bed when your folks are thinking you're sleeping, you're listening to a late game. And but I grew up on the south side of Chicago, and we had a Sandlot. Thank God we had a Sandlot behind my house. Ever see the movie Sandlot with those kids?
Oh, yeah.
That was the story of my life, including the dog. You know, the movie that was Hercules. who stole all the baseballs. We had Mo the German Shepherd, and unfortunately his backyard was by third base. So anytime our ball went in his backyard, I had to jump over the fence, get the ball, throw it back onto the sand lot, jump back over the fence and keep playing.
Oh, man.
I did it every time except one time, and Mo bit me right in my butt, and I had a German Shepherd hanging off me. And I go, Mo, let me go, and I fell across the fence. He let me go. Anyway, it was fun. I listened to the radio. I always wanted to be that voice coming out of the radio.
Yep.
When I was 12 years old, Stitch and Anita, I wrote Jack Brickhouse a letter. He was the longtime Hall of Fame broadcaster for the Cubs. And at 12 years of age, he wrote me a letter and back. And I said, I want to be a major league broadcaster just like you. And he wrote me back this letter. He told me what you would say to any 12-year-old kid, work hard, believe in yourself. Then I had a chance to meet him in 1983.
Wow.
Did he remember you, the letter?
Oh, of course not. But I asked him that, Anita. I asked him, I said, you don't remember this, but in 1965, when I was 12 years old, I wrote you a letter and you wrote me back. He said, really? Because he had been retired for a couple of years, but he was at the game in Mesa. And I said, he wrote me this letter. He said, what are you doing? I said, because of you, Mr. Brickhouse, I'm the new announcer for the Seattle Mariners. I'm going to do today's game between the Mariners and the Cubs. He said, really? I wrote you a letter, and he gave me a big hug. That meant everything to me.
That's
you
incredible.
You still have the letter?
Oh, I wish I did, Anita. Aww. You know, with all the moves in the minor league, I mean, I was 12 years old. That was 1965, and I left a lot of stuff at home that my folks had, and I had to bring a lot of stuff home when I made the Mariners, and we went to Chicago to play the White Sox. My mom made me take a bunch of stuff home with me. I had to get a suitcase. She goes, Ricky, you got to get stuff out of the house. You know, we're outside.
Come on, Ricky.
And, So I don't have that letter. I wish I did.
Rats.
Because it meant so much to me.
You betcha. And you mentioned Jack Brickhouse. What a legendary broadcaster he was, too. Some really unbelievable broadcasters out of Chicago. I remember, again, I'm from Iowa, and I remember the great Milo Hamilton.
Yeah.
Who was also from Iowa. He had one of the best home run calls I've ever heard. And again, I'm listening on AM radio. And this would have been probably 1984. I got hired at KUBE in 1985. We moved out here. And I'm in my car with my buddy Toby in the sex van where he got no sex. He just called it his sex van. Toby was a liar to himself. And the call was simple. You heard the crack of the bat and bam. All Milo said was, Shale, never hold it. And I got chills from that, meaning like Shea Stadium will not hold this baseball. It is gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Right? Painted that picture with a very few words. And I know I saw your press conference. You're talking about how much you learned under the tutelage of the great Dave Niehaus as well.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Sitting next to David for 25 years, I gleaned so much. I learned so much. He taught me so much, including opening day, 1983, I was so excited, you know, finally being in the big league.
Yeah.
And I'm not in Toledo, Ohio, doing a game against the Mudheads. I'm
right
in the Kingdom. It's the Mariners against the Yankees. It's Gaylord Perry against Ron Guidry.
Wow.
And I was going crazy talking. And then after about two innings, David reached over to me, turned off my microphone, said, you don't have to talk after every pitch. I go, okay, David. All right, David.
Oh, my God.
He was the best thing that ever happened to me. He was my best friend.
You were just so excited.
I know, like I am now. And we just had the greatest time together. Never one time, 25 years at a crossword. I love that man. His family, we're so close. Our families are very, very close. And we became friends off the air. You know, we went out for many, many dinners.
Yes.
Beverages after games or in the barge room of the different ballparks where you just heard all these wonderful stories. I was so smart to keep my mouth shut and just listen to all these great stories from David and Don Drysdale, you know, and Bob Uecker, and all the great broadcasters that we went to, you know, around the American League. So he was the best thing that ever happened to me.
That's awesome. I was also thinking of this, too. It's just sort of your farewell tour kind of a thing there. You must have made friends and really good friends all over America because you're going to visit the, you know, Detroit. You're going to visit all these cities every year for 3 or 4 days on the road. And some of your favorite restaurateurs, I'm sure, you know, there's a lot that's going through your brain. Think about my final visit to Kansas City. Am I going to get that, you know, at barbecue like we always did?
Right. Yeah, no, I it started last season. We were in Boston and early in the season, and I'm standing on the field at Fenway Park with Shannon. I said, Shannon, would you mind taking a picture of me with the monster in the background?
She said,
sure. I said, this might be my final time, you know, here at Fenway Park as a broadcaster because this year I'm only going to go on 4 road trips. I'm going to do all the home games.
Okay.
So I'm cutting back. And I knew that I wasn't going to probably go to Boston this year. So it started, that was a great question, because it really started last year. So I'm taking in every moment. I'm savoring every moment. I'm going to enjoy every drop of this season and really take it in and take mental snapshots and pictures, of course, as well, because, you know, I just want to remember every bit of my final year with the Mariners. The Mariners have been so great to me. The fans have been unbelievable. The response, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm still going to stick around here. You know, I got 3 grandkids here. My son, so sadly, passed away 2.5 years ago. Yep. That's one reason why I thought about this decision. You know, I want to enjoy the rest of my life. He was such a part of my life. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take care of my grandkids and slow down a bit and still follow the Mariners and root for the Mariners. I still want to work for the Mariners in some capacity.
I love that.
You know, in PR, whatever they want me to do, I'll do it. But I'm gonna stay right here.
If you're in the clubhouse during a game, you know, just hanging out, are you going to make a couple calls just for fun? I mean, you can't resist, right?
Exactly. After, you know, 51 years of doing this, Anita, I'm probably going to kick back, go swing and a drive deep to left field.
Yep.
Goodbye, baseball.
Oh, there it is.
We were talking.
Get out the right bread and mustard, Grandma. It's grand salami time.
Yeah, we were talking about that on the air this morning, what was our favorite call of yours? And I'm thinking, I mean, of all the great ones there, I'm going to go with Happy Totals because, you know, because the game's over. And the happy is the total that we won.
Mm-hmm.
So of all of them, you know, the swung on belted, hey, it's a grand slam. That's great. Doesn't mean we won the game. But the happy totals thing. As a matter of fact, I stole that line from you once. I was when I was at KBSG Radio, we did a Sing with Stevie Wonder contest, and the winner was going to sing with Stevie Wonder at White River Amphitheater down in Auburn, right? And so Stevie Wonder introduces me in the middle of the show so I could introduce her, and we had done a voting. People voted on who was the best singer, right? And we had like 100,000 votes from 1,500.
What?
Yes, I know. It was incredible. So I said, here are the happy totals. You know, just go.
Oh, good. Way to go, Stitch.
I stole that one from you, brother. I couldn't pass
it up. Well, I stole that from Jack Brickhouse.
So, oh, nice.
We steal from the best, man.
That's
so
cool.
Awesome. That is so very, very cool. Yeah. And what else was I going to ask you about? Oh, before I spacing off here, I need to thank Madison in the M's PR department for the hookup here.
Yes, absolutely.
I love Madison. She's amazing. She makes my job so much easier, you know, handling all these requests and things like that and our travel.
Yes.
And she points me in the right direction, and she's absolutely amazing. And when people ask me for tickets at the last second, I call up Madison, and she takes care of it. And
cool. I've got her number, too.
She makes my life so much easier. She does a great job. Madison Berg now. She just got married about 5 or 6 months ago.
That's
She's
cool.
amazing, and so is everybody in that front office. I love those kids in the baseball information department, you know, led by Tim Heavily.
Yeah.
You know, there's Alex Mayer and Adam Gresh and Freddie Ioannis and Jordan Stone and Katie Leahy. I mean, they do an amazing job, you know, the notes and information that help prepare us for each and every game.
Well, you do your game prep too. I know you're a slave to your game prep, just like I'm a slave to my show prep every day as well. So when you love it, it ain't work, right? And I can tell how much you love it. And we got lucky. You know, this is the job we've wanted our entire life too. So we know that one very, very much. Let's talk about the ball club this year. How cool. We're going to celebrate the Seahawks Super Bowl win today with a parade downtown Seattle. And I want to have one for the World Series in the fall. And you get to be on that call. Game 7, bottom of the 9th, walk off Jack. Bam.
Yes.
That would be, Stitch and Anita, that would be a dream come true. And I think they can make it a reality. They have the team to get there. They have the team to get there and win it. They were so close last year, just 8 outs away. It's our 50th season. And Jerry DePoto and Justin Hollander have done an amazing job putting together the franchise. And it takes years to see it come to fruition. It started in 2018 with a first-round pick, Logan Gilbert, and Kirby, a first-round pick in 2019. Emerson Hancock, a first-round pick in 2020. In the 4th round, Bryce Miller. 6th round, Brian Wu. In 2021, it just continues. Cal Raleigh in the 3rd round in 2018.
It's incredible.
They've done an amazing job, and they add Brendan Donovan from the St. Louis Cardinals to play third base. Mm-hmm. They re-signed Josh Naylor. Mm-hmm. They've got the best starting staff, I think, in all of baseball, and great closer in Munoz and an outstanding bullpen. So it's going to be an exciting year.
You betcha, Rick. And also, I mean, it was tough losing Logan Evans for the entire season. I guess that maybe opens up the door a little bit for the M's number one draft choice last year.
Yeah, Cade Anderson, you know, number one pick, first round pick, third pick overall from LSU. So the farm system is just loaded with talent.
Yeah.
And we're going to see, you know, we saw Cole Young come up to the big leagues last year. And Ben Williamson, who was recently traded away.
Saw that.
In that three-wheel deal to get, you know, Brendan Donovan from the St. Louis Cardinals. Lázaro Montez, you know, talented outfielder. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Farmello, another talented outfielder. And Ryan Sloan, a pitcher.
Yes.
Our Scott Hunter has done an amazing job as our amateur scout. The farm system is still one of the best in all of baseball. After getting all these kids to the big leagues over the last 6-7 years, you know, so that's what you have to have. You got to build that foundation. And the Mariners have a great foundation for right now and for the next 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
You know what's funny about that, Rick, the names you rambled off there? We didn't even mention Cole Emerson.
Cole Emerson, yeah.
Right?
Our number one prospect.
I mean,
he's got a chance to make our ball club.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to go to spring training with an opportunity if he has a great spring. Battle Cole Young for the second base spot. So I really look forward to that. And it's going to be a lot of fun watching these kids, you know, mature right in front of us. They did last year without Ben Williamson and Cole Young doing what they did and Logan Evans last year. Mariners wouldn't have an opportunity to, you know, win the American League West, which they did for the first time in 24 years.
That was
but
so
they
much
held
fun.
In there and until Kirby and Gilbert and Miller were able to come back from injuries. So, Cole Emerson is going to be a lot of fun to watch. He's going to be a good one.
It's cool because we're based in downtown Everett. Of course, that's the home of the Everett Aqua Sox as well. So these young guys we've been following for a long time and rooting those guys on. Let me talk about, you know, some of your other fellow announcers. I know the love that you have for Dave Niehaus, as we all do.
Yes.
But, I mean, Aaron and Dave Sims and all of the talent that you worked with over the years.
Yeah, I've been very lucky, you know, since I got here. In 1983, number one to work with Dave Niehaus, and Westock was our analyst. For years, we only had three announcers. One guy on radio, two guys on TV, and then we didn't televise, which we didn't televise very often. You know, it was Dave and I on radio for many games. And then from Westock to Nellie Bryles to Ken Brett, who was outstanding.
Yes.
And Joe Simpson. And then we, in 1995, we hired guys like Dave Henderson and later on, Jay Buhner and Dave Valley, they were outstanding. So I've been lucky to work with a lot of great people. Aaron Goldsmith is so talented. He's been with us for a number of years now. And Gary Hill Jr. did a great job with
me
on radio last year. And this is going to be his sixth or seventh year with me, or eighth year on radio. He does a super job. So I've been very blessed to work with a lot of wonderful people.
God, what a pleasure to have you on with us, Sarah. Rick, you have any last question to you?
I have one question, since I know this is your last year. Have you thought about what you're going to miss most of all next year when you're not doing this?
Yeah, that's easy, Anita. It's going to be the camaraderie that I've enjoyed for the last 50-plus years, you know, being with the guys, you know, not only in the clubhouse and on the field and in the dugout and the relationships that you make with not only our guys, but the visiting players. I got a chance to have a really, you know, get to know Albert Pujols.
Yes.
And, when I see Albert, he gives me a big hug. Or Reggie Jackson down at the field. Don Mattingly and I were in the minor leagues together, you know, Columbus, Ohio. And we give each other a hug when I saw him with Toronto last year. And now he's with Philadelphia.
I'd be like Albert Pujols.
I'd
be like Albert Pujols. Don't hug me too hard here, big boy.
Oh, he's a gentle giant. What a nice man. You know, always able to do an interview. I tried to do an interview with Albert in the Cardinals clubhouse many years ago, and some locker next to him had a radio on, but the player wasn't there. So he, Rick, hold on 1 second. Let me do this. He went over, turned down the radio, came back, sat down. We did the interview.
Bang.
You know, nice man.
So great.
So I met a lot of great people. Ken Griffey Jr. and our guys, you know, right down the way. Dan Wilson, Jay Buhner, Edgar Martinez. And now we got some of the sweetest kids in the world who are so talented. Cal Raleigh had the historic year. He should have been the MVP.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Not even
close.
Oh,
he didn't win the MVP award. I don't get it.
I don't think either.
The home runs for a catcher got beat up every night, and he caught 121 ball games and hit 60 home runs. That tied for third all time in the American League with Babe Ruth.
And,
you know, he should have won the MVP award, no doubt about it.
Amen.
You know?
And if I remember correctly, I don't think he had any pass balls the entire year.
None.
Jeez.
Which is a miracle.
Yeah, it's
crazy.
You know,
guys throwing splitters and sliders in the dirt.
Right.
Guys throwing 95 to 100 miles an hour.
Yes.
I mean, he had more home runs than a catcher in history, more home runs than a switch hitter in history, beating Mickey Mantle.
Mm-hmm.
More home runs than any Mariner history, Ken Griffey Jr. And just the nicest guy in the world, and he handles the pitching staff, and he does all that behind the plate, what he does. Incredible year. I don't know what he got to do.
Hail to the big dumper. What a guy.
Great kid. And then Julio Rodriguez. He's going to be an MVP one day real soon.
And I think he's going to have a really good year. I really do believe he's going to be. This will be like his fourth year or fifth year?
I think it's going to be his fourth year.
Yeah.
Fourth year.
I think that's a hit of stride year.
Yeah, fifth year maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, he's so talented. He's got a no-fly zone out there in right center field.
Yeah.
He has a personality plus, and he's just so talented.
He's a six-tool player there, Rick.
Yeah.
Right?
You're right.
Not five, but six. Hey, Rick, thank you so much for all of your time. We really appreciate you and your time and can't wait to follow your journey as you embark on your 52nd season of play-by-play. You're remarkable. You're beloved. You're a member of our community, and we wish you well.
Yes. And, you know, that's nothing that we say easily to people. It's true.
Well, thank you very much, Stitch and Anita. I owe it all to the fans here who have accepted me, you know, since I got here in 1983. They're the best baseball fans, and the response from them over the past few weeks has been unbelievable, and really over the last, 40 years. And I try to make one fan at a time, and I learned from the best in Dave Niehaus.
Yeah.
That's how he did it. Became a great storyteller, and that's what I try to do. Tell the stories, and the fans seem to love it, and I love them.
Yes.
It's going to be a remarkable year this season. It's going to be a lot of fun.
You think the outpouring has been big time so far. Wait till we start the actual season, the crescendo to build up to your final call. Look out.
Wow. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I've been texting Steve Rabel and Dave Wyman. They're enjoying a parade today downtown Seattle, winning the Super Bowl. And then Steve said, now it's your turn, Rick. And
I love it.
Representing the fans. Let's go win a World Series.
I love it. Let's make that happen. Hey, do me a favor. Tell Tom Hutler I say hi. Him and I used to work together at KUBE.
I sure will. He's the best PA announcer in baseball. I wish I had his voice, man. He's amazing.
He's got the pipes. Rick, we love you. Be well. Go Mariners.
All right, Stitch and Anita, thank you very much.
Take
care, guys.
Thank you.
Go Ames.
Ballpark.